There be no testimony. We'll go right on into the service this morning. This morning's message, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Ephraim is joined to his idols. We know it doesn't take much of this world, since David said we were born in sin and shaping in iniquity. That this world has shaped and formed our beliefs, our actions, and it has caused our trust to be in different things in which it shouldn't be in. We have a tendency to trust in man. We have a tendency to trust in ourselves. We have a tendency to not be stable in God, in our religious beliefs, if it's not founded in Christ Jesus. In other words, if we hadn't heard from God, in other words, if he hadn't planted that word of faith in our hearts and given us the ability to believe, we can't believe. Like I was telling Deacon Hubbard, he don't need to, I'm kind of already ribbed up this morning. I got some of my prelude to preaching in on my ride here with one of the drivers that brought me to work this morning, because he typified what all of us believe until we come to Jesus Christ. That just because he hadn't killed nobody, just because he think he's good and everything, he don't have to go to church. He said someone had told him, say, if someone's in prison for murder and find Christ and start believing in Christ, he's in better shape than you are. And he said, well, I don't believe that. I said, well, it's not according to your belief. I said, he witnessed and testified to you the right thing. See, I'm not of those of a religious persuasion or whatever to align myself up with people to get along. I'm of the belief that God has told me to let my light so shine that men would see my light and give him the glory. And I'm trusting God. Trusting that the guy wouldn't put me out on the road and say, well, look, you get out there. Because I said, it doesn't make any difference what you believe. I'm telling you what God had said. This guy had been justified by telling you the truth, because I say Moses was a murderer, but God's able to forgive a murderer, someone that trusts and believe in him, better than he would someone in the church that's trusting in themselves, that believe the way they want to believe. And that's what happened with Ephraim. Ephraim is joined to his idols. They wanted another king. They wanted to be around the people with the gods that those people serve. They wanted another king when God was their king. You don't need man over you as no king, but since all of the other nations had kings, they wanted a king. Ephraim, they allied themselves with Damascus, we've seen in chapter 7 of Isaiah. And in the book of Acts, it tells us that be careful what we ask for, who we align ourselves with, because we may be end up fighting with God. Because of Ephraim's idolatrous ways, God was about to destroy them. He was about to take away the fortress. Assyria was massing a large army. Ephraim joined together with Damascus, Syria of Damascus. The king of Ephraim then was Remaliah. And Pekah was the king of Damascus. But God didn't even address the king. No, Remaliah wasn't the king. He didn't even address the king of Assyria. He didn't address him by name. He says, Remaliah's son. He said, don't trust in them. Judah, in other words, he was telling his other people, that they had the northern tribes Ephraim and the southern tribe Judah. He says, don't trust in them and don't worry about them. Just trust and believe in me. Yes. Ahaz, the king of Judah, he was a wicked king also. But God had came to them and he says, look, in a certain length of time, if you would believe, you would be established. But if you don't believe and trust me, you won't be established. He said, just ask for a sign. Ahaz said, I'm not going to trouble you for a sign. I wouldn't do this to God. He was like most religious people today. They so religious. But he still joined together with Assyria to save him. So Ephraim united with Damascus and Assyria I mean in Syria, not Assyria, but Syria, to fight against Assyria, not knowing that God was on Assyria's side. God had sent Assyria down to do this to them. But he didn't do it to do it to Judah. And he told Judah not to worry about it, but trust in him, believe in him, in himself. Ahaz didn't believe in God to that point because they had tore him up some too because of his wickedness and evilness. So he united with Assyria against his own brethren in northern Israel. Okay? So it's brother against brother. You have civil war and everything going on here. Like I said, he was like the nation is today, uniting behind a leader that's not religious but portray himself as being religious. But he's like I was telling you, Mitch McConnell, he's one of the biggest hypocrites it is. And see, so you can excuse yourself for why you do it. To them, a man's ways is right in his own eyesight. But with God and the rest of the world, it's a whole different thing. So we mustn't get entangled in this world's affairs. And I tell you, I wasn't going to say much more about those things or whatever, because it's going to play out its course. We trusted in God. All along the theme here, trust and believe in God and don't get entangled in this world's affairs. And if you trust and believe, he's going to enlighten you so you can know what side to be on. And you will get stronger. And you remember I told you, you're going to transcend this world. You're going to start walking in this world, but not of this world. You'll be on top of the thing. Just like Jesus Christ said, how would you like to have those things you say? So my first point is the fortress destroyed. He had destroyed Ephraim. He was about to send Ephraim into captivity. Ephraim wasn't going to be anymore. It says, the fortress also shall cease from Ephraim, verse 3, and the kingdom from Damascus and the remnant of Syria. They shall be as glory as the glory of the children of Israel, saith the Lord of hosts. So he was going to take away Ephraim's glory. He was joined to his idols. Damascus, the kingdom was going to cease there, but the remnant, he always promises that remnant restoration. He always promised those, because within all nations you have those that believe. Within all nations of the world. That's why it says God has it where all men will be saved. So he's not in the habit of saving nations. This nation won't be saved. No nations of the world won't be saved. He's going to destroy all nations. He's in the habit of saving people. People out of the nation. All types of people. Group. No people group will not be represented in the kingdom of God. All men will be saved. He's not willing that any perish. So a portion, not every single man, but a portion out of each group. So a lot of Syria will remain in Syria. The remnant, they won't be made afraid, because what? Their trusted belief is in God. God hadn't given them a spirit of fear. It says, verse 12-13, woe to the multitude of many people which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall chase them off and rebuke them, and they shall flee far off and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. So the people in the world, they're not coming up against you, they're coming up against God. The Lord says the battle is mine. If you're dead to the world, you're not entangled into the world, you following Christ, being shaped and made into his image and his likeness. So all this multitude of people, and you notice that they say people trying to make you afraid, talking about it's going to be anarchy in the United States. Good. Out of chaos, God brings order. They're talking about the women in suburbia being ravished in the suburbs. All that needs to be rearranged, because God had scattered. And it is God that scattered it for a purpose and a reason. God scatters, and he is doing that for a reason and a purpose. Assyria consisted, it says, of divers of many different people groups, And they came as floodwaters. That's Isaiah 5:30, 8:6-8, Psalm 76, 5-6. I read 8-68, it says, because these people, that is Judah, his people, that is Ahaz, have refused the gentle flowing waters of Shilon and rejoice in Rezin, the king of Aram, that was the king of Damascus, and Remalah's son. You remember I say he wouldn't even call Pekah's name? He just says Remalah's son, and that was Pekah of Israel, of Ephraim. They rejoiced in them. It says, now therefore listen carefully. The Lord is about to bring on them the waters of the Euphrates. Metaphorically, he's speaking in a way when he says the waters of Euphrates, and that's the strong river that flows through that area, strong and abundant. He was talking about the king of Assyria. So it was God that was doing that to them. It was God that was going to come against them, and he told Ahaz not to be afraid. He told him that through Isaiah, that he was going to be established through Isaiah. And then it says, the king of Assyria and all his glory, and it will rise over all its channels and canals and go far beyond its banks. Then it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass through the little hills, reaching even to the neck of which Jerusalem is the head, and its outstretched wings, the army of Assyria, will fill the width of your land, O Emmanuel. Now it says, come up to Jerusalem. But don't go into Jerusalem. You have to. That's why I say study God's word. Listen at God's word, and you have to rightly divide God's words. He's not telling them to go into Jerusalem and do all this, but he's telling them to do it to Ephraim in Damascus. But Ahaz, he lines up with Assyria, since Assyria is the most powerful, and that's what people in any station like. They like power, they like authority, they like money, they're proudful, high-minded, they make a lot of noise, and it's the majority. God doesn't care about those things. We have to understand what God's plan is. That's what Gamaliel said in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter. If you just read that whole 5th chapter, you'll get it. But it's about the 5th chapter in the 17th, the 33rd through the 40th verse. But he tells them when they were fighting against the apostles, he told the Pharisees, he says, now be careful what you do. And he told them of different people that rose up, different people claiming to be messiahs in religion. He's saying, now if it's not of God, it'll come to naught. But if you fight against these people and they are from God, you can find yourself fighting against the living God. You see, Ephraim and Damascus was fighting against something God had told Assyria to come do. Just like when Judah, when he was going to give Judah into captivity to Babylon, we noticed that he had told them to go into Babylon to submit, to let them and be taken captive into Babylon. So you have to trust in God's word and what is God said doing. In every instance, what had God said? That's what you're trying to find out. What had God said in this situation? Ahaz wasn't like that. He's like our leader today. He believes in himself and his gut instinct and what he believes. That'll get a lot of people hurt now. That gets you hurt. So God had, we noticed in chapter 10 and everything, he says Assyria was his rod. In other words, he was going to use them to beat you. He was going to use them to beat his children. And then he was going to chasten Assyria for beating his children. See, all of us are just twos in God. He's the potter. You know, he's making things, did what he says. Now he says, because of the disobedience and pride and injustice that was done openly, and the idolatry, she will be carried off. Isaiah chapter 28, 1 through 4, 5th chapter, the 30th verse. Judah's lights will be dimmed also of her leak because of her leaders. Now you remember in that third verse it says that glory would fade just as the glory of Judah fade. They was a high-minded, they was proud people. Their glory faded and faded. Even because of Hezekiah's victories, he got lifted up and high-minded, and he showed the people of everything that was in his home or whatever. And God says, all that stuff could be taken away into Babylon. See, that's what happens when we get proudful and high-minded. We have to wonder and pray to God. And Job started to understand that, to find out, why is God allowing to happen to you what's happening to you? Because, like I say, if you believe God is sovereign, that means everything is happening for a reason. Everything, the circumstances, what you're going through, the problem. So you need to be in so close a contact that God's telling you why he's doing everything. That's why it says in prayer and supplication, let your request be known to God. And ask God, because he says, if you, my friends, I'm going to reveal these things unto you. So God should be talking to you. You should be in a conversation with God every day. And he speaks to us through his word. That's what you're trusting in, God's word, his revealed word. And Jesus Christ is going to give you revelation. The Spirit's going to lead you and guide you in your understanding. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. The truth is what's going to make you free. And people will see you walking in that, but don't let yourself get confused or proud or high-minded because you are able to do that. See, that's what Asa did. Asa began off good. Asa was the king that threw his mama away from being queen mother because she was into idolatry. She had idols. But the end of Asa's life ended very terrible because he wouldn't allow prophets and people to tell him anything. See, sometimes we get so religious and so high-minded, nobody can talk to us or tell us anything. We won't listen to nobody. You know, Asa ended up away from God. He started off well, but he didn't end well. So you don't want to be like that, starting well and not ended well. Your life needs to have consistency. So God removes the wall. In other words, that wall is the protection he has around Israel. And he calls them Ephraim. And they knew they was in trouble when they called him Ephraim. It's like your mama tell you, you know, you just like your daddy or something. Okay, now she compare me to my daddy. And I know how her and my daddy got along, you know. If you just like Slim, so I'm in trouble now. But, you know, once you're going by Israel, if he called them Israel, it was different. That's just like when he called, you notice the name says the fading glory of Jacob. Because Jacob's name was Israel, he called it. That was his new name. Jacob means supplanter. It's some names people call you, and they used to know me by, a lot of people used to know me by Red. But it's a lot of people that didn't know me by Dirty Red. They didn't know Dirty Red. They might have known Red, but not Dirty Red. Don't laugh down, Red. Don't do that. See, because those two different things, you ever hear people, you have certain nicknames or names people call you, and they don't know why you have that pet name or that name? Because only the people in that circle know you by that particular name and why, how you got that name. And so he calls them Jacob when they're not following him or doing what he's supposed to do. And God's about to move that wall of protection. In Hosea 4:17, which was our reading verse, it says, Ephraim is joined to his idol, so let him alone to suffer the consequences. When their liquor is gone and their drinking parties are over, they habitually go play the prostitute. Ephraim rulers continue to dearly love shame more than her glory, which is in the Lord God of Israel. The wind of God's relentless wrath has wrapped up Israel in its wings and in captivity. They will be ashamed because of their sacrifices. In other words, their sacrifices, their offerings and things that they have given to false gods. They go to these big mega churches and other places of following other gods, whether it's your children, whether it's your relatives, whoever it is. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, so you don't put a physical enmity between, a hatred between you and them. When it says brother against brother, household against household, you know, in other words, you letting the Lord handle these things. You see, because me and this guy that came here this morning, we may not ever talk. If we do talk again, it won't be on this subject because he told me to leave my. He said, you bleed the way you want to bleed, and I bleed the way I want to bleed. I said, okay, no problem then. I left him alone. Lo and behold, we pull up here, and it's a church. I say, as a pastor, I didn't tell you this. I wasn't just a friend or rider. Be careful those you entertain who told you, because I didn't warn you. But it tells us not to strive. Not the strife, not the cause apathy, you know. My sister had joined my niece-in-law's church. In other words, my niece Paula, she's married to Albert. Well, he's a minister or whatever. Well, Brian and my sister and all of them, they had joined his church or whatever. They were going to his church or whatever, but now she don't go to church or he don't go to church or whatever. And she says, about coming to my church, and I said, well, look, you could watch church from home or whatever. You could watch our services from home or whatever. But I would have to ask Albert's permission for her to be a member of this church. She would have to get a letter or tell Albert, and Albert would have to say it's all right. You know, it used to be required among churches, if you leave one church, that you bring another a letter or something from another church. We're not into member stealing now. So we have to be careful of what idols we go to or bow down to. Ephraim was going in. That's what Ahaz did. Ahaz said he wasn't going to ask God of a sign or anything. But what Ahaz did do, he gave God's money. He took off the doors, the gold, and all this stuff, and gave it to the king of Assyria to protect him from his own brothers in Israel and Ephraim instead of trusting in God. God says they wasn't going to be anymore, that he was going to destroy him before the baby was able to eat curds. And that's when God gave the sign. It says a young maiden, a virgin shall be with son and give birth. The sign of Emmanuel. God said he was going to give him a sign whether he wanted it or not. This was going to be the sign. But he took all that stuff and gave it to the king of Assyria. And then when Assyria went in and did exactly what God says they were going to do, they defeated Damascus, the gods of Damascus, and the gods of Ephraim. Assyria defeated all of them. And what did this idiot do? He went, this is what Ahaz did, he went and got that altar made, an altar made like the king of Aram of Damascus, and replaced it with God's altar with that altar. This king, his gods couldn't save him, and you go take his altar and remove God's altar, and you go worship at that altar? Another king defeated him. Now you go worship his gods at his altar? That's why he wasn't buried with the other kings of Judah in the royal cemetery. He did so much wicked and idolatry that God said, oh no, you put that other altar here, you brought idolatry in here, you've reduced this kingdom. That's why I say, this guy in the White House now, he's done reduced the nation to such a level, he's like Ahaz. God said, well no, Ahaz can't be buried with the rest of the kings of Judah. He's like the kings of Israel that did wrong in the sight of God. Because why? You knew better. Those that know better will be beaten with many more stripes than those that don't. It's bad to be in church and know what God requires and in the face of it says, I don't. I told him on the way here, and I says, now, you said you don't have to go to church, that you think you're good and you're good and everything. I says, you believe Jesus Christ died for the church, he died for the world. I said, well, do you believe his word when he says, forsake not the assembling together of your church? The church is the ecclesia. They're his called out ones. And that the church is for the edifying of the church, of the saints. If you don't go to church now, it might be reason. There's a virus going around. A lot of people, old people, at one time we wasn't meeting together. You can do that over the air or whatever. God understands extenuating circumstances. But there's none if he's able to do what he's doing. He's giving, he's a Lyft, the ride service, Uber and all these. Well, don't forsake the assembling together. Don't think you're just good enough by yourself there. That's not why he died. Not for you to be off on your own. As for Ephraim, he says, their glory shall fly away like a bird. And so he, you know, this, he says, you know, I'm good. I hadn't killed nobody. Okay, you think you're good. See, and I say, well, if you feel that you still have weakness and everything, so that's the reason for coming to the church and everything, because at times the preacher will step on your toes. God's words will step on your toe at times. That area where you know you're sinful and doing wrong, That's why you need Jesus Christ. That's why he died, so he can lead you and guide you in all truth. That's why David said, show me my inward sin, that I don't know. Show me what I'm doing. And through Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He gave you the faith, if you trusted in walking in him, to overcome. God's trying to reward the overcomers. He came to save you from your sin, not in your sin. Don't run around. He's talking about, I know I'm sinners. We all sinners there. Well, that area you know you've fallen short in, you pray to God and ask him each time that come up, says, God, strengthen me in this.
Praise God.
Say, God, here I am. If you weak, don't hang around the bar. If you're an alcoholic, I've seen where some actor or something, Dax Shepard or somebody or whatever, he say he fell off the wagon after 16 years or whatever. Stay away from around those people that cause you to fall off the wagon or something. Lead us not into no temptations. That's why it says, let Ephraim alone. Those your brothers and sisters and everything. But if you round somebody that's drinking and doing all these things, that flesh is weak. The spirit is strong, so you might not could overcome. They go overcome you. He says, you should influence them. They shouldn't influence you. If your spirit's not strong enough to resist these things, don't you sit around there with them. Sooner or later, you go cave. You okay? And he says, now if we start to drink and beat and do the rest of the thing, God's going to come in a time that servant knoweth not, and he's going to point them a portion with the hypocrite. Rage and chaff. I thought I numbered these pages. Rage turns to chaff. All those that are enraged, all those nations that inflame, all those strong men, all those people that go against you, they will be made ashamed. God could bring those down. He says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut off. Isaiah 41:11 says, behold, all they that were sent against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Like I said, this guy didn't told you. And that was your second warning, because I just not told you this morning. Now, you've been warned. God, I didn't tell you, it is God's word. It's not that opinion. See, a lot of times, that's why they say don't offer people your opinions and everything, because everybody does have opinion. But if you go around witnessing, speaking the word of God, that's why I tell y'all learn the word, meditate in the word day and night. That's your job, is to let your light so shine. Give them the word. That's your sword. That's what you fight with. That's your rod. You take that rod and knock him upside the head with it. That rod gets it now. You give him the word. He can't overcome. There's nothing as powerful as God's word. Psalms 46:6 says, the nations rant and rave in anger. But when God speaks, the earth melts in submission and kingdoms totter in ruin. In other words, God's word has said this. That's why I study God's word. That's why I keep putting these things in here for further reading. Because if you keep consuming God's word, if you meditate in it day and night, if you read it, if you hide his word in your heart, you might not see the effect, but it's having an effect. It's having an effect on him this morning. It's having an effect. You just leave it up to God. You leave your brothers and sisters up to God. You leave Eric, but you tell him what thus saith the Lord. You know what God's word is and what it says, and he's going to make it clear unto you. You, all of these obstacles, as you see in these dominoes fall, it's going to make you stronger and stronger. It's going to make you wax bolder. It's going to be like Peter. You remember a little fearful Peter that denied who Jesus was 3 different times? But as the Spirit got in him, the more talking and talking, he says, man should believe in God. He should trust God and obey God rather than man. Once you start obeying and trusting and believing God, people will start watching and, you know, they're going to start taking note. They say, you know, this guy done been with Jesus. From the way he's talking, you have a confidence. That's what happened with Paul. He had a confidence in Christ because he knew what God's able to do. Not afraid to die. The Hebrew boys, they say, you can say what you want, King. We're not going to bend. We're not going to bow. We have to go in that flame. Then God is able to deliver us, but we're not going to bend and bow to your gods. We're not going to worship the way you want us to do. Throw me in the lion's den. I'm not going to stop praying. Throw me in the lion's den. God is able. It was God who caused all of these enemies to scatter. God causes these things to happen. The enemy runs at the sound of God's voice. He separates them. Isaiah 33:3, Isaiah 41:11, Psalms 9:5, 46:6. Now the next point is judgment. And that's what I say. He said, well, you know, I don't go to church a lot of times. And this is his words. Now this is one of his excuses, the guy I'm telling you about this morning. I said, we had a good little conversation on the way up here. Like I said, I got warmed up. I don't go because of the hypocrites in the church. When I told you that earlier, you remember coming up on the interstate, that says it's got preachers and people in the church, the reason a lot of people don't go. I said, but you can't stop that because you need to fear and tremble and work out your own salvation. God knew that right there, Annas was marred. He was murdered right there at the church. He knew where Satan seats it. Just because your leader is crooked and corrupt, God will move that leader. God will move those that which is corrupt. God's going to remove. That's why you see Ephraim falling. That's why you see Judah fall, because of the corrupt leadership. Don't worry about what Mitch McConnell is doing. Don't worry about what the rest of the nation. Don't worry about what the police is doing. Don't you get entangled if you ask God for the light to walk in his way. You trust God. God's pruning them. You remember, I told you we wasn't going to go over it at that time, but the other week I says he's planting vines. Some could be grafted in, but some the graft is not going to take. In other words, though they offering and putting money in different churches and helping the cause of God, they won't be able to see God because it's tainted. Their offerings, God's not accepting that. God's not accepting what they're doing because though they fed the needy and they gave to all these things, their heart wasn't with God. But you're not responsible for the hypocrite. You're not responsible for the hypocrisy of this nation. As the world becomes the kingdom of the Lord, as we walk in, we transcend the world, thy kingdom come. We're looking at the world through the lens and perceiving it through God's eyes. That's why Jesus Christ walked the way he did. So if you're going around smiling at everybody, if you're going around doing good, if you're doing things what Jesus Christ said, things he did, that what you sow shall reap. That's what's going to come back to you. But if you, like my neighbor the other day, talking about, I don't know, somebody called those people and told them not to pick up the trash off the side of the road there because I had trash mixed in there. I say, you know, I would hate to be in that condition. I say, neighbor, I hope ain't nobody in this neighborhood that low down or that dirty. I say, you know what? As I'm talking to him, because I don't know, he was trying to throw a slam at me or something because I took my trash off that pile and put it in my little hole. Because what I'm saying is, I don't even want to think that way about anybody. You have good thoughts. But if you go around here thinking of a devil behind every bush and making accusations and things, you don't want those kind of thoughts in your mind that people would be that wicked. See, that's what happened with man. You remember I told you, it's in my blood, it's in my DNA. That evil, when we partake of the tree of good and evil, all of us did that in Adam. So it gave us evil thoughts and everything. We project that on other people. So what's in you, you project it on everybody else. I'm wanting to tell him, you're a low-level dope dealer or something riding around here on a bicycle or whatever. Who would waste any time watching you throw out your trash and then calling the city to tell them not to pick up your trash? It's dirt, would be dirt enough their neighborhood. Who would care that much about you to waste that time in their life following behind you doing stuff against you? Just as pathetic. So that's why I says, fret not thyself. Let me go in the house. Because I'm sitting out here, and that's what I do every day. I sit out on my porch, read my Bible, and I study, and I get my lessons together. But here you done interrupted me with some weird, evil, wicked thought. Now I got to go in the house. You come putting this foolishness in, garbage in, garbage out. Trust in God with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I started to tell him, no, he didn't realize that the trash man don't run every week there. It runs every 2-3 weeks or every month or so because people don't have that much trash. So he's getting excited. He's fretting himself over nothing. But that's the way we are. He says, in that day, judgment day, we're talking about judgment, his people who have rejected his word, I gave him my word, this guy, this word this morning, that lack trust and belief in God will be punished. It applies to Judah, Ephraim. It applies to all of us. And no strategist go get him out of it. He can't blame the hypocrites in the church for not going in the church. You need to be able to trust God. When he said they're going to come with bow and arrows, when God's judgment, sister, when he starts saying with bow and arrow, what is a bow and arrow? You remember Ahab was trying to get away and the guy shot an arrow peradventure? And that arrow went straight between all of Ahab's armament. In other words, God has a fine-tuned judgment, and we know God's word says judgment shall begin at the house of God. Was God able to pick the Reverend Jerry Farwell Jr. off when he got ready? Notice he just failed at this time. Now, if he says, well, I'm not a pastor, this or whatever. Well, you shouldn't even let people call you Reverend Farwell then. You shouldn't wear the name. You shouldn't wear the name of Christian. You should put on, if you put on Christ, you should depart from iniquity. See, God's able to pick you out from a crowd. That's what a bow and arrow is. He can get specific ones. You have to be shooting at what you hit, what you're shooting at with an arrow. It's like a guided missile. God is able to pick one guy off. You see the minions when they're shooting? Well, they just be shooting arrows, but all that's in the hand of God. Nothing just happens by chance. Nothing just happens. If you die, that's why Job says, though he slay me, yet I'll serve him. You're not going to die till God is ready for you to die. God controls life and death. Are you trusting God? That's why I say all of what's going on in the world and the nation, if God's time for you, it's time for you. You know, David was worried. Now, don't get overconfident, and that's what a lot of people do. They throw rationale out the window. You remember Paul fled through a window when they was trying to kill him. They let Paul down by a rope out of a window. You know, they tried to kill Jesus and push him off of a cliff, and he passed through him. God guided him through them, wouldn't let nobody get to him, because the person that's trusting and believing in God knows nothing can happen to him before their time. You can't die before your time. A lot of people say he died too young. No, he died when God wanted him to die. Nothing happens out of God's control. Now, that's if you believe in that God's sovereign. Is God sovereign in your life? Are you trusting him to be sovereign? If he's sovereign, that means he's in total control. You believing in Jesus Christ, that rose and says, all power is in my hand. All power. That means if you get any power, he has to give you that power. He has to give it to you like he gave a serum. You go in there and do this and do it. Notice when he sent Babylon in, Babylon said, okay, God told me not to bother with Jeremiah. You let Jeremiah do what he wanted. Let him go where he wanted to go. Because God told me that. Listen to God. Trust to God. But in that day, this is a time of judgment. No strategist will help you. It says, because you, Judah, have forgotten the Lord God of your salvation and have not remembered the rock of your stronghold. Therefore, you plant lovely plants and set the grounds with vines and slips of a strange God. But they won't come to fruition. It's a lot of people in America, in this nation, that's building houses and creating jobs. Things. Other people could have that job. Other people will live in those houses. Some things that people plant, it's God that bring it to fruition. Some plants go wither on the vine because they wasn't watered. If you don't abide in the vine, people go pick you off, that you go dry up, and they go throw you in the fire, the fire of trials of judgment. You go get out there and get tried in the fire. It's like they say with the press, the sharks see the blood in the water. And that's why you have so many enemies around. We have to realize that we pray to God to keep us from the schemes and the wares of the devil, because he's out there 24/7. He's vigilant. He's trying to bring you down. We should be walking circumspectively through the earth, trusting in God, believing in him. That's the only way we go get through here. That's why he's trying to make you wholly dependent on him. That's why I say, do you trust him 100%? That's why you have to have the mind of Jesus Christ. You have transforming of the mind. You remember Peter was walking on water, but when he took his mind off of the leader, the object of his faith, he took his mind off of Jesus and looked at the problem. He looked at the situation. He looked at where he was. He began to sing. Get your mind focused on Christ. Never let anything blind you from looking at Christ. Trusting, and that's the vision. That's where you're headed to. Stay focused now. Stay focused. And I told you about the boat. He's going to remove all the idolaters. Fret not thyself because of him. He's going to pick them out. He's going to pick them. The axe will be laid to the root of the tree. Every tree that don't bring forth good fruit will be hewn down at the root of the tree. All those people with you, around you with all that crazy talking and saying this and saying that. How many people, those women in that community where you've been staying, then came and gone and you didn't see? Nah, I should have known this was going to happen. And through life, you start observing and seeing these things. And he said, David says he's lived a long time and he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. Do you understand God's word? Because it's got people that know God's word in religion now get you so confused and so confounded that you'll see that it's in the Bible or whatever, but not understand it. The devil has blinded the eyes of those that didn't believe. It means those that didn't fully believe in God. You allowed that person to come in and you gave them space in your life till you halfway believed them and they end up influencing you, but they was a devil. See, he allowed Judas in there. He said, I've chosen y'all, and the one is you is a devil. See, because it was some of them going along with Judas when Judas says, why did she use that perfume for that reason? It could have been sold and put in the bag. Well, he wasn't thinking about Christ, and Christ said that's going to be a memorial for her. But Judas and the rest of them was thinking about themselves, and one of the reasons they were stealing money out the bag. They was going to fatten their pot. God's going to get those that plunder you and cause you to fall short. Nobody can take your blessings. Nobody can steal your blessings. But through influence and through schemes and scams, people could weasel them out of you because you disobeying God in one area. You trusting yourself to quick riches. You trusting yourselves to getting rich overnight, some lottery scam, or some, all these opportunities. You see, well, a dollar ain't much, $3 here, $4. You have to give account for every idle word. Remember, Jesus was watching the woman that threw the two mites into the treasury and said they had given more than all the rest of them. Now, those Pharisees, they might have put in thousands of dollars, but they were gambling away the rest of it. They was money changers. They were shorting people in other areas or whatever. So waste not, want not. You remember he was going around feeding multitudes and 20,000 and 30,000 people with broken fish or whatever, but he still told the disciples, now pick up all of the fragments so none will be wasted. Don't be wasteful. Sowing and reaping. Also, the judgment of Sennacherib. Now, that's what I told you. Worry not about the evildoers and people pride in being lifted up. Remember I told you he had told Sennacherib to go and he had told the army. But see, these was two different armies. The same people. Tiglath-Pileser was the one that went in and destroyed Damascus and all these people. Ephraim and all of these, but Sennacherib of Israel, of the Assyrian army, he took over as king. He went down, he came to Judah, God hadn't told him to bother with Judah. And all of that, like I say, he was proud. He came with the roaring and the rushing, all this multitude of people. He sent the Rabshakeh in, and the Rabshakeh started howling and cursing at the people, and the leaders of the people were scared and whatever, say, look, talk to us in a different language. Don't speak to us in Hebrew because the other people might hear. In other words, he was like our leaders today, trying to make the nation scared and afraid, and they don't do the right thing. He's just trying to stay in office himself. Rabshakeh was just doing all these things himself. God hadn't told him. He said, now, don't let Hezekiah fool you. Now, see, because Hezekiah is the king now. And Hezekiah was a good king. He trusted in God more than some of the rest of the kings. We'll study Hezekiah. This is not Ahaz. Ahaz is dead. That was another Assyria. That's just like people say, make America great. Well, this America is not the same as the other America. They be talking about the good old days. Them days was just like these days is. If you was living in them days, they hadn't changed. There's nothing new under the sun. Same old thing. So, how is God dealing at that time? God's going to work a different way. God works a different way. Well, Sennacherib came in there and says, don't trust in Hezekiah. Wasn't it God's altars and things that he had burned down? And he, you remember, it was Hezekiah who burned up the brazen serpent, who had cut it up and tore it into pieces. He called it Nehushta, because it's just like the cross in Easter and all these days. People worship those things. It's some guy running around here with a cross, dragging a cross across the United States, and different people being nailed across and everything. Hezekiah took that cross and that serpent on the cross and burned it up, broke it into pieces, tore it up. Because that was from Moses' time. That says if anybody look up on the brazen serpent, they would live. But it didn't say worship it. People was worshiping those things. You see in the Catholic Church where they worship statues and pray rosaries and all these different things or whatever. Now you worshiping angels and you carry it off through man's philosophy into all these other different areas of life. And your angel worship and worshiping dead saints and things. And you done made the Pope a saint and worshiping him and doing all these other things. Hold on, we're going into an area God had told us not to. That's why Hosea, you know, the groves and the high places, those was places where idolatry was going on. That's why Hezekiah tore them up and destroyed them. So the people that didn't understand religion, that was new to religion, you know, Senator Chad might be right about this or whatever. You know that the people that just come in the church that hear or know a few scriptures and could quote a scripture, if you an idiot, you end up falling behind them. And God tell you, watch a novice, watch somebody that's new. They're on fire, but now you thinking they trusting just because they named the name of Jesus, just because they did these few things. You didn't abandon everything you didn't learn in God and ripping and running. You tossed about by every wind of doctrine. It's new doctrines that come through here. How many Abernacles and Dwight Payne, how many different people arise in these areas? Surely, remember I told you about the Crystal Cathedral, and it's gone now, whatever. You followed all these different things. But Sennacherib came in, was threatening Hezekiah, and he wrote the letter to him. But Hezekiah took the letter, gave it to Isaiah, and prayed, and trusted in God. Said, God, you had told me to do all these things, and I'm trusted and believing you. I can't do anything. I can't go against it. God said, don't worry about it. Leave it up to me. Verse 14 says that, behold, at evening tide, trouble, and before the morning he is not. This is the portion of them that spoil us and a lot of them that rob us. What happened was, 2 Kings 19 and 35 says, and it came to pass that that night the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Syrians 104,000, and when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 Assyrians overnight. Mm-hmm. And another verse, it says, Isaiah 37:7, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So what happened was, that God says, I will send a blast. Let me explain that just a second. What happened was, He woke up that next morning, all his people dead and everything, most of his army gone, has died. He goes back to his own land and worships in his temple. His children, let's just say, well, we don't want to call them by the president's son's name, but his sons and things say, you know what, Dad's a loser. Dad's a loser, his God's a loser. They go into his temple where he worshiping his gods and kill their own dad and it's kill son of cherub because he was so proud and high-minded, he spoke against God. He didn't understand what God was telling the prior king. He heard what God had said and had did to others, and you looking at past things, but they wasn't of God. You didn't know that they was receiving credit for something God was doing through them, and you attribute it to them. Just like they was talking about the economy and everything, and people said, well, we could vote for him because he's strong on the economy. Well, he didn't do that, and you don't see the results of what he did for the economy because he was going off what the man before him was doing. So what we see the economy in the last 3 years, it's not what this guy had did. Trump didn't do this. He has wrecked the economy. And if the people on Social Security see that he's cutting out the payroll taxes, all this, that's what funds Social Security. So SSI, Social Security won't have no money if he stays in there. That's why I say, well, maybe God might want him to stay in there. Suppose God keeps him in there so the nation will completely fall. Because in these next 2 or 3 years, Biden's not going to be able to strengthen it. Like I said, he need a mathematician. He need God. But if God has it destined to fall, but if Biden wins, they'll say he caused it. But they're not trusting in God. So those people are tossing about. They're walking by sight, not by faith. Yes. That's why you have to walk by faith. When it says a blast, and one version says the angel of the Lord, and a lot of people said, boy, he sent an angel. Now, if it was an angel, it was Jesus Christ, because it says the angel of the Lord. But do you see Jesus Christ? He had a sword, and he was cutting it, killing all the people and whatever. See, but that plays to the people that come in the church that like imagery and other things, because as a lot of scholars, a lot of people, and look what God's point may be pointing out, because you say he's going to send a blast. Maybe it was the bubonic plague the people were saying. It was something that ate. You ever ate something? You know, food poisoning will kill you overnight. All of them died. Maybe the bubonic plague or something. Just think how this nation went wrong. God sent the coronavirus. So far, it's been killed 20,000 more people than was killed this night. That's been in a short period of time since March. That coronavirus has killed many more people than Sennacherib lost. See, that's a messenger, an angel of the Lord. When he say an angel or a messenger, he doesn't have to be an individual. See, suppose this coronavirus, and that's what's attacking the economy. That's why the economy fell. That's what's attacking the nation. That's what God sends, different things. That's why a hurricane and weather, all these things is in the control of God. God's allow these things. The fire that's burning in California and all these different places. You have to see God being sovereign, and these things aren't just happening. So God says he'll do these things. So we see it's not by man. The Trump administration is trying to blame China. They're trying to blame somebody. But like I said, he like my neighbor. You getting problems or you see problem and you try to find somebody to blame because of the trash at your door. And not realizing it's because of your own actions or because of the way you see things. So Judah was suffering political and internal strife and different divisions because of what their leaders and what their people were doing. But those that trusted in God kept their head down, and God kept his people, because it says a remnant. And Jesus told his people, fret not thyself. He says there's going to be wars, rumors of wars. There's going to be catastrophes, earthquakes. It's going to be famine and all this. This nation hadn't seen half the problem. You just wait, because the government's covering these things up. We don't know how much coronavirus is out there because they're not letting them report the numbers. That's why a lot of teachers not going back or whatever, because they're not letting the hospitals or the doctors report the numbers. So the government is so corrupt because of your leaders, because of your politicians, because of your religious leaders. Religion has apostatized. So the mega churches and all of the people, God's going to take care of all those things, but he's going to restore some. He's going to restore his people. He's going to restore the remnant. As usual, with God, there's always the remnant which survives. Hosea 14 and 7. This is one of the reasons I came into the church. You remember I said I was working at Southern Livestock at one time and had a pretty good job or whatever, but when I did, God brought about a way that I lost that job. It didn't tear me apart. It put me on a new street, a new avenue. It was like a brother that contributed to the church here recently to our lawnmower fund or whatever. And I told him about my sickness and everything. And I said, man, just last year, I was cutting 5 or 6 yards a day just, you know, for extra money on the side or whatever. Now I can't hardly walk. He says, sometimes God moves you into a new creation, to a new life, a different way of life. And that's what God does. He changes things overnight. So when he changed me from that Southern Livestock Supply of my old job, this is one of the scriptures I was reading. You remember I said I was reading in Jeremiah and Hosea? It says, they that dwell under the shadow of the Almighty shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Every man's going to sit under his own vine. Micah 4 and 4 is another one. He says, but they shall sit every man under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and none shall make him afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts had spoken this. Man, that's why I was so upset when my fig tree got blight and some disease and I had to chop it down. Because I was thinking about that. I had fig trees, pear trees, sassumas and oranges and plums. See, because no one's going to make me afraid. The president, I don't even listen at that, you know. I hadn't even listened at the worldly news for a while. I see things going across on the internet that I determined to read to keep y'all abreast and to keep myself abreast. But I don't let nobody make you afraid of what's going on. He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. He's going to take care of his people. God's going to keep us. He's trying to make the suburban housewife afraid. He's talking about he's the person of law and order or whatever. And as Biden tells him, well, this is happening on your watch. All this going, I'm not the president. He tried to fault Biden for not doing a mask mandate. Biden said, I'm not the president. You the president. You should have did all these things. But God comforts his people. As Saul was pursuing after David and all of David's enemies, you remember on every hand and David's children going against him. That psalm, David says, Psalm 50, 46, 1 through 3, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, I will trust in the Lord. That's the overwhelming thing. When life's coming apart, when everybody, when your children have turned on you, when everything have abandoned you, trust in the Lord. Believe in him, and you shall be established. This area that Assyria had torn apart, do you know that's why they said the people were in darkness and they had seen a great light? Assyria had conquered all of Naphtali. And you know, that's the very first place Jesus Christ came and preached the gospel, was in Galilee. That's why he told him to go back and wait, and it was going to start in Galilee. God restores us. He gives us his word, and we would just believe and trust in him. So as we conclude in this, the Latter-day Temple receive the glorious presence of God, just like we receiving the glorious presence of God within us. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll never abandon you. No height, no depth, no nothing could separate us from the love that's in Christ Jesus. So according to Ezekiel 6, 1 through 6, God's going to keep his people, and that loud, that voice of God's going to get stronger in you. As you obey and trust in him, the lights will get stronger and you will hear him as though he's sitting there talking to you. That voice is going to get louder and louder as you repent of the bad. Not like this guy say, well, he know the bad that's in him. Well, crucify that bad that's in you. Kill it. Get rid of it. Whatever you know you're doing wrong, ask God and he'll help you overcome that. You will transcend all these other things. Even though all this is anger and everything against you, don't align with man. Don't trust men. Don't go into any alliance with men. Trust in God. Trust in God. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, strengthen us.